The story is about being a priest and a priesthood, and it may not appear that way, so look underneath the surface. So I'm walking to my house the other day with my 2-year-old grandson, and as we come around the corner towards the back door, there's a huge, amazing white lavender bush. I mean, just stunning. This thing takes your breath away. And I said, "Aubrey, did you see? Did you see the white flowers? Did you see the bush?" And he walks right up to it. He's just like, "Oh!" I said, "Isn't it beautiful?" And he goes, "It's beautiful." And then he turns around to me and he says, "Did your boyfriend give you that?" And I had the thought, what a beautiful thing to facilitate a person coming to gratitude. From that place, their heart fills with love. And from that place, their love overflows to the beautiful thought of, wouldn't it be great to give this to somebody that you love? There's the idea of teaching, as David was speaking to, I can't remember if it was Tuesday in FSE or Sunday, but that we take what children already know, what they're already aware of, what they already see on their own, and then we go from there in teaching. We don't overlay some other concepts and ideas that tend to squash out the natural knowing. I'm not going to take the Sun Cross explanation from a Monday morning FSC and explain day one and how gratitude is a key, is a tool in bringing blessing to the heart and filling the heart. From that place, our love overflows into the world. I'm not going to teach him that way as a 2-year-old. He already knows something. But a priest or priestess facilitates an experience that can bring that already present knowing to a place that he can learn something. The learning is very experiential, because in the gratitude of the beautiful white jasmine, he could feel it. The gratitude just welling up in his body, and that going into a love space. There's no explanation. Oh, I'm going to teach my child how to be a generous person today. I want to teach my child how to be loving and generous to other people. There's no way that you could have a better teaching for a 2-year-old than that. And I propose that part of primal spirituality is, it's not just about 2-year-olds. Primal spirituality is about our already knowing, our own innate ability to see things clearly and to understand clearly and to allow in our own feeling experience that we can be changed and our world can be changed. And primal spirituality only works if we honor and respect the innate knowing that we all already have. When David was speaking about seeing the beauty in other people, I'm thinking that too is a role of a priest and priestess. It's to see the beauty in everything. But for me to see the beauty in another person and acknowledge it, then the next natural step is I'm with somebody who's seeing something else in that person besides the beauty, and to point to the beauty. Do you see the beautiful beauty? Do you see the white jasmine? Do you see the beauty that is Jane? Do you see the beauty that is Soma? Can you see that? The ability to be so present ourselves that we can invite others into presence. The other experience that I've had is walking that same path past the bush, pushing a wheelchair and trying to keep a 2-year-old on track with where we're going. And I'm carrying his bags and Eden's bags and just trying to get into the back door. And I wasn't fully present at all. What was I teaching him in that moment? What did he have the opportunity to experience and know in that moment? Something like, having both your grandchildren over for the weekend with all the toys and all the other stuff that comes along is a little bit of a hassle. I don't know. What are you teaching them? But you're not teaching them appreciation. And I wasn't teaching them appreciation when I wasn't present. I was teaching them a lack of presence. I was through example showing them that way of being, which isn't true being. So facilitation, as I see it, it's so closely related to the spirit of the single eye, in that in true facilitation, we're holding the ability to focus deeply on something like the white jasmine and fully see it because we're focused on it. Focusing, magnification, let's say, going in to the next level of magnification to see something clearly. But also in facilitation, a facilitator pulls back and goes up. You know, there's the broader view to see. And from that place, then, we see where our attention and our care and our love is needed, our facilitation is needed, where there is more flow needed, where there's more unfolding of the natural design needed, and then we go into that spot. So we're constantly, you know, if you think about a lens and we're refocusing all the time, you know, bring it up here and see the big picture and then go down in here because this is where our facilitation is needed. It's very much priestly work because in our holding a view that is always focused on what matters most and what it is that we're facilitating, we are inviting the natural unfolding. We're not forcing anything. We're not pushing anything. There's a flow that's involved. And when it's not flowing over here, something's stuck, that's where our facilitation is needed. We get that piece going. We come back up. We see the whole thing. I think we forget this, although I'm sure we all know this. We are all teachers. We are all priests and priestesses. We are all facilitators. We are all leaders. And that's what we're talking about. We're talking about being fully present and being fully with the people that are in our lives in a way that invites them into another experience. And that experience necessarily leads to, if facilitated well, their own natural knowing. A completely different experience than being told something. To feel it and know it for yourself. I love the mental capacity to understand how these things work. I love our Suncross model of the creative process. And when I first came to Sunrise Ranch to explore the teachings, the spiritual teachings of emissaries of divine light, that's what I loved most. I understood things for the first time that for decades on a spiritual path, I knew I had some knowing of, I had some fuzzy awareness in some cases of, but I could understand. And some people maybe don't appreciate that mental aspect so much. I love that. And I think at times we all need that. But it also doesn't replace the ability to know something through experiencing it, through feeling it, feeling into it. Jane was speaking in our service prep time about what happens sometimes for us when there's so many strong emotions and, you know, the emotions are going everywhere, the thoughts and the feelings are going everywhere, and we're sort of stuck and sort of frozen. But one thing, even if you don't know, like, what to do to fix it all, where to go from here or anything, is just, what's a step, as Jane was saying? What is a step that we can take? For me, that's about flow then, because we can be so stopped with thoughts and feelings that are going every which way, we're just stopped. Versus if we can see clearly one thing to do, and we can do one thing, we're taking a step forward. Now there's movement, now there's flow, which I'm not implying means that we're always moving, because when we're perceptive, sometimes what we perceive is, it's time to stop. To just be still, to just wait and listen and see with the inner eye what's needed here. Not to leap forward unnecessarily when we don't know what it is we're doing, but finding that balance of the flow of life, the flow of reciprocity, the give and the take, and the continuing to be in motion, because life is always in motion. Life is always unfolding. And how are we participating in the unfolding? How are we dancing with life and dancing with the unfolding? Sometimes That is in stillness. But sometimes when we're just stuck and we're trying to just figure it out mentally, what is it you always say, Jane, about do something for somebody quick? You don't know what else to do. You're confused. You're upset. Everything's a mess. Do something for somebody quick. If that's not flow, I mean, that's, yes, it's the flow of doing something and moving forward, but it's the flow of the emotional. It's the flow of love coming in and through and out into the world. And it's the flow of the energy between two people, the interchange, the connection, the communion between two people. It's all about the flow. And if we're facilitating, no matter what we're doing, if we're being a facilitator, if we're being a priest and a priestess, we're facilitating flow. We're not creating stuckness, and we're not feeding stuckness. You know, not that we don't, you know, somebody's in crisis and we listen, and we may not know what's the right thing to say. Maybe all there is to do is listen, but we're not bringing stuckness. Because life moves. Life just keeps on moving. Thank God. Life just keeps on moving, and we get to then celebrate in the next moment, in the next moment, in the next moment, the beauty. Not to look at the beauty that's not here any longer and be focused on that and crying over that. No, what more? What's next? What's next? It's like our friend George Emery, who used to live here, used to say, there's always more. There's always more. So something's passing away, and something's being born. Always. And it's something to celebrate. It's something to notice. We have the extraordinary experience living at Sunrise Ranch to be immersed in the natural beauty of life unfolding. We also have the extraordinary experience at Sunrise Ranch to be immersed in the natural beauty of people unfolding, of relationships unfolding, of people coming together and the natural design that occurs between and amongst us unfolding. Stewarding that, facilitating that, and celebrating that so that we can be together ever more in more powerful, loving ways that are kind and that honor the knowing of each other one and know the truth that we see in ourselves and the truth that we see in others and celebrating all of that. Even if it appears to not be in sync. The truth is the truth in all of its forms, and we celebrate that together, right, Jane?